Welcome. Again, it's good to see you all here again. That's good to be back here again. This is day four of a six-day series in which we're investigating together the nature of what actually is so. And more specifically, today, the nature of what I call pure awareness, or what Krishnamurti called choiceless awareness, or just awareness, which in a phrase is this that is aware of all that appears in consciousness. As we've said before, whether we know it or not, what many of us seek or want to understand in an attempt to escape our troubles or to find everlasting peace or enlightenment is not realizable from the standpoint of mind. The human mind is incapable of seeing or understanding anything beyond itself, beyond concepts and images that the mind itself creates. The mind is always limited in this way. The mind can only do what the mind does and nothing more. It cannot go beyond itself. So when we speak of pure awareness, the mind cannot see or understand the reality or truth of pure awareness, because pure awareness is not a conceptual reality. And the capacity of mind is limited to concepts, images, and thoughts. So it's impossible for the mind to conceptualize what it's like to be in the presence of pure awareness, to be purely aware in the eternally present now. The human mind is incapable of recognizing or realizing realities that are beyond the scope of mental cognition. Consequently, when we seek to find answers from the standpoint of mind, which is our traditional practice, and therefore our normal approach to learning, in order to attain conceptualized goals that are not only created of mind, but also beyond the capacity of mind to understand, we are engaging in a fruitless enterprise, because the reality of pure awareness is not realizable in this way. This is why, when we seek answers from the standpoint of mind, we keep running into dead ends. Because seeking to know is an activity of mind, and pure awareness is not a concept of mind. Therefore, pure awareness is inconceivable from the standpoint of mind. I'm purposely repeating this point in various ways to make this point as clear as possible, intellectually at least, because this is a fact. And because of this fact, the reality of pure awareness is only realizable when the mind is still, and thus not actively interpreting energized material expressions appearing now in conceptualized terms. This is a fact that Krishnamurti repeated time and time again throughout his years of speaking to thousands of people throughout the world, because it is absolutely so. What Krishnamurti called choiceless awareness is what also might be called a pure state of being aware, in which we simply perceive what is in the eternally present now, without mental interpretations, judgments, analysis, or reactions coming into play, covering up and avoiding the truth of what is, because all that stuff is created of mind, and mind is limited in this way. Mind cannot go beyond itself. And this fact must be recognized within oneself before it can be properly understood in terms of what it means to be present here now. Pure awareness in one's experience is nothing more nor anything less than being purely aware in the eternally present now. Prior to egoic identification with concepts, images, and thoughts. The presence of pure awareness is recognizable as well as felt when one's being is resting, one might say, in the eternally present now, absent the ongoing experience of the continuity of space and time created of mind. Pure awareness is immediate, timeless, formless, non-conceptual, pure perception of what is in the eternally present now. If you want to define it, that sentence effectively does. Call it by any other name, the reality of pure awareness is the same. Some of you might know of Scott Killaby and the awakening process that took place within him that he has written about in recent years, in which he points to a second level problem, one might say, that many of us encounter, as was also true for me, JC, as one begins to experience ever greater liberation from the false sense of an egoic self-center, as the true nature of pure awareness increasingly comes to light from within. So here's what Scott had to say as he reflected on the awakening process that took place within him that he wrote about in a book entitled Reflections of the One Life. Although it can be liberating, these are Scott's words now, although it can be liberating to see that the separate self is a concept and that who you really are is closer to this awareness, there can be a subtle fixation with the notion of awareness even after the initial seeing or awakening. The word awareness is great as a pointer, but lousy as a philosophical fixation on an identity created of mind. In the word awareness is to, if, excuse me, if the word awareness is taken as more than a simple pointer, there can be an ongoing subtle fixation with the experience of passively witnessing. An unconscious belief arises that there is something here called awareness and a witness watching something else called thought or even life. This witnessing is still dualistic in nature. So Scott preferred to use the word notice in his writings, which he said was not an invitation to passively witness life. It is instead, he said, a call to love, a call to the unknown. Liberation cannot be known through dualistic concepts. Liberation cannot be realized when there is a fixation in some realm of experience. Liberation arises naturally when the dualistic boundaries between self and other, between awareness and thought, and form and formlessness are seen to be illusory. You are not the witness of something separate from you called life. You are life itself. These are Scott Killaby's words. Scott went on to point out that awareness is who you really are prior to form. Awareness is naturally spacious and non-conceptual. Identification with form happens when there is no realization of the reality of this simple formless awareness. Thought is believed totally, including all the divisions and boundaries that are created by thought. This is an illusion that the mind itself creates. Once pure awareness is realized, this is still Scott speaking now, Once pure awareness is realized, thoughts continue to arise. There is still content, personal history, and a body-mind organism, but there is no longer identification with these things. There is seeing beyond the dualism of thought. There is no division between awareness and you. Thoughts that once seemed so important are now seen to be just as empty as the awareness from which they emanate. Recognizing this fact is about noticing the true nature of reality. Once this has been noticed, that your fundamental nature is emptiness, you see that all form is essentially empty. Divisions and boundaries do not exist. Divisions and boundaries are thought created. And in this seeing, love naturally arises. Love sees no boundaries, and yet it respects apparent boundaries. Nisargadatta Maharaj, whom I've quoted in previous sessions, in his book, I Am That, pointed to the nature of pure awareness in this way. Resting in the innocence of awake awareness, we notice, again he used the word notice, that our ambitions are nothing but thoughts. Our desire for things to be different than they are is just a thought. Every idea or image we might have of ourselves is just a passing thought. Our regrets about the past and projections about the future are mere thoughts. So, having heard what others have said about the nature of pure awareness, let's now listen to what Krishnamurti had to say about what it means to be choicelessly aware. These are Krishnamurti's words now. There is a difference between attention that is given to an object that appears in consciousness and attention without object. We can concentrate on a particular idea, belief, object, which is an exclusive process, or there is simply an attention, an awareness that is not exclusive. Concentration is a process in which the mind focuses or narrows down to a point, wherein attention has no borders, no frontiers. When our concern is to understand the totality of what is, concentration becomes a hindrance, whereas attention is limitless, without the frontiers of knowledge. Knowledge, which is the additive process of concentration, does not bring about the understanding of the immeasurable. The totality of what is never within the brackets of a concentrated mind. Attention is a state in which the mind is ever learning without a center, around which knowledge gathers as accumulated experience. If you give complete attention, which is to be attentive with your whole being, then you might see that there is an immediate perception in which no time is involved, in which there is no effort, no conflict, no division. And it is this immediate perception, this choiceless awareness, that brings an end to sorrow, which is the offspring of a conflicted mind. Choiceless awareness is a state of mind that observes something without any condemnation or acceptance, and therefore faces life as it is. When you look at a flower non-botanically, then you see the totality of the flower. But if your attention is focused and botanical knowledge of what the flower is, the name, the type, the size, the color, all that, you are not looking at the flower in its totality. You may have knowledge of the flower, but the knowledge consumes the whole field of your mind. So you are looking partially and not totally at the flower. To look at the fact of what is to be fully aware. And in that awareness, there is no choice, no condemnation, no like or dislike. In choiceless awareness, there is only awareness in the eternally present now. Choiceless awareness is the state of mind that takes in everything. The crows flying across the sky, the flowers on the trees, the people sitting in front, the colors they are wearing. It is being expansively aware, watching, observing, taking in the shape of the leaf, the shape of the trunk, the shape of the head of another, what another is doing. It is to be expansively aware and from there acting. This is to be aware of the totality of one's own being. And awareness of the totality of one's being is to see and understand every thought and feeling and never limiting or denying it. It is to allow every thought and feeling to awaken. This is what it means to be totally aware. Awareness of disorder in relationship during conscious hours of the day bring order out of disorder. And by order, I mean order in the whole of consciousness, which takes place when division between the observer and the observed ceases completely. What is conceived of mind is transcended when the observer, which is the past, which is time, created of mind, comes to an end. The active present is not in the bondage of time. Only when the mind, the brain, and the organism embodies this total order is there an awareness of the wordless state and timeless movement. Order is the highest form of virtue, sensitivity, and intelligence. Your mind is conditioned right through. There is no part of your mind that is unconditioned. This is a fact, whether you like it or not. Those are Krishnamurti's words, not mine. Note that K doesn't say that part of mind is conditioned, while other parts of mind are not. He doesn't suggest that it's okay for some activity of mind to be in play for that which is other than mind to come forth. In fact, the opposite is true. K repeatedly says that the activity of mind must be still for pure perception to be in the foreground of conscious being. Your mind is conditioned right through, he says. There is no part of your mind that is unconditioned. This is also to say that the human mind is limited to concepts and thoughts. That's all. This is what the mind does. It interprets the energy of life expressing now into concepts and thoughts, which means it is impossible for the human mind to think beyond concepts and thoughts. That's what thoughts are, concepts of mind and nothing more. Thoughts are not pure perception of the real in the eternally present now. So to the extent we are thinking right now, for instance, and identifying with thought, we are not perceiving that which is holistic and real in the eternally present now. No exceptions. Any form of partiality is not that which is real. Kay continues. You may think there is a part of you, the watcher. This is going into what Scott Killeby just talked about previously. You may think there is a part of you, the watcher, the super soul or the Atman that is not conditioned. But because you are thinking this very thought, it is within the field of thought. Therefore, it is conditioned. You can invent lots of theories about it, but the fact is your mind is conditioned right through. And any effort to free yourself is also conditioned. So the question is, what is the state of mind when it realizes that it is conditioned and also realizes that any effort it makes to uncondition itself is still within the realm of conditioning? Thoughts are never free. They are the outcome of conditioning, of our culture, our climate, our social, economic, and political background. So can we be aware of our conditioning without identifying with the content of mind? Just be aware, in which there is no conflict at all. This awareness, if allowed, might perhaps burn away the problems that the mind itself creates. Any form of accumulation, whether of knowledge or experience, or of an ideal, as in what should or should not be, or what I should think or not think, is a projection of mind. And these projections cripple the process of investigation and discovery of the truth of what is. So our inquiry must not be intended to solve our immediate problems as conceived of mind, but rather simply to find out whether the mind, where all our traditions and memories and racial knowledge is stored, whether all of it can be dissolved and die away. Are we capable of simply being aware without any demands, without any pressure coming from the mind? Just be aware. When we are caught in our immediate problems and wanting an immediate solution, our lives are superficial. But when we are simply aware of our thoughts and feelings as they arise, without condemnation or comparison, then we might come to realize the extraordinary reality of choiceless awareness that lies beyond concepts of space and time. When there is a simple, clear watching and listening without interference from concepts and thoughts, then there is nothing but choiceless awareness. And when one is choicelessly aware, then out of that awareness comes insight. And insight is not an act of remembrance. Rather, insight is like a flash of light. One sees with absolute clarity all the complications, consequences, and intricacies of life. This very insight is the action of what is. There is no regret, no looking back, no sense of being weighted down, no discrimination. It is simply pure, clear insight, a perception of what is without any shadow of a doubt. When there is clear insight into the nature of violence, for instance, that very insight banishes the violence. And such insights occur outside the capacity of the brain to see. It is not a remembrance or a concept of knowledge, but the insight itself transforms the brain. The insight is holistic and complete, and out of that completeness, logical, sane, rational action occurs. And this movement that comes out of watching and listening without denial or condemnation comes like a swift arrow. Only then can you have a holistic relationship with the mind. In choiceless awareness, there is no becoming. There is no end to be gained. There is nothing but silent observation without choice and condemnation, from which there comes understanding. Hidden layers and their significances are revealed. Awareness reveals a creative emptiness that cannot be imagined or formulated within the mind. Awareness and creative emptiness is a holistic process that does not come in different stages. It comes when the mind is empty and still and not creating problems of its own. In that alert passivity, there is ongoing creation. When the search for a result ceases, then problems created of mind cease as well. In awareness, there is a space of nothingness in which volume is not bound by time, which is a measure of thought. The mind cannot enter this space that is simply aware. It can only observe. In this observation, there is no experiencer, no observer that has a history. So the observer is that which is observed. Or put another way, we are the awareness out of which all things appear. When time is created of the self, it is not the space. When time created of the self is not the space that has no measure is. Or put another way, when the mind is absolutely still, the truth of pure awareness is. There's no mincing of words here. Krishnamurti points as directly as one can to the nature of pure awareness.